We'll open up the scriptures to Isaiah chapter 28. Isaiah chapter 28, it's a very famous chapter. It's a prophecy of Jesus Christ and prophecy of the Spirit as well. But the bit that I'm going to read. So the title of this talk is Growth. I've just noticed in the last couple of weeks that through the gifts and various things that are going on, that we seem to be pummeled a bit by growth, you know, to encourage people to grow and look to grow instead of stagnating. And so here's another talk about growth. I love the analogy, and it was brought up recently, how a deciduous tree during winter looks dead, and then it just springs forth in life during spring and bears fruit and flowers and whatever, and then it goes back to winter and it looks dead. And we all know in our own lives that we wax and wane with bits and pieces, with wisdom, knowledge, the effort we put into the Lord, our prayer life, our reading life. We wax and wane. We might have moments of winter, moments of spring, but the Lord's put these things in nature to help, to comfort us, that yes, okay, you feel bad and you can condemn yourself when we are trees, you know, like we're a type of tree, spiritually speaking, and we can condemn ourselves because we don't seem to be doing much, right? We're in this moment of winter, and so you just knuckle down and pray to the Lord, you know, that bring that spring back, you know, and start bearing fruit and let the leaves come forth and just shine. So this talk about growth, Isaiah chapter 28, and I think this is so important. I've brought it out a few times, the aspect in this passage of verses. So Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 9, whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with the stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, says this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. So it repeats twice here about the precept upon precept and line upon line, here a little, there a little. Now, the Lord wants us to grow, you know, just like, I mean, we'll bring out some scriptures, just like, you know, someone who's tending an orchard. They want to see their plants grow. They want to see their plants bearing fruit. That's why they're there. To bring increase. And so the Lord wants us to grow. But what's so comforting is that we all grow at different rates. And also we might have a period of growth and then we might have a period of not growth. But each individual grows at different rates through their whole life. And it says here a little and there a little. And I've brought this out before, like the Lord doesn't mind how quickly we grow, just as long as we grow. You know, it can be here a little and there a little, just slowly grow. And it's so important. It's part of our salvation message. It's how we survive, you know, but by growing here a little and there a little. And yes, of course, this great verse 11, with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. This people that he's chosen, who have the mindset of a babe and have a desire to grow here a little, there a little, this people he'll speak with stammering lips and another tongue. You know, speaking in tongues, that's the spirit of the people he's chosen. This childlike attitude of, right, God wants me to be part of his kingdom, and a part of that is to continue to look to him and be fed, right? We refer to our meetings as going there to be fed. We come here to be fed. The word is food. Jesus Christ said that. We have to eat his flesh, right? And his flesh is the word. So this is food that we grow here a little and there a little. And we are these people that are filled with the Holy Spirit. We speak in tongues. And so we have this desire. We are this people to look to him, to grow. And then, like, it's just a wonderful thing. It says, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. You know, once we understand this and we understand God's plan and we understand and we can look and say, yeah, okay, I'm building an understanding and I'm getting involved, you know, I'm getting involved in all these things and then I come kind of growing in these, and then you get a rest. You get this mentality of a rest that, yes, it's great being part of the kingdom of God and refreshed as well. So let us not be part of these people, yet they would not hear. We're part of these people that he has chosen and he's speaking to, right? So when God chooses a people that he wants to speak to, he wants them to hear. He wants them to listen. And so let us not be those that will not hear. Now, I don't normally read verse 13 in this passage because it ends in a kind of awkward way. And I don't fully get it. I don't fully understand what it all means. But it says that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. It's a little odd. It's a very negative way to finish this little passage. And the only thing I can think of is, like, it starts out as being a people that are like babes. You know, they've got this simple mindset, right, God wants it, I'll do it, right? And then you go through this whole thing of growing, here a little, there a little, you know, speaking to, you know, you get this spirit with stammering lips and another tongue and you get this amazing rest and then it goes back into, right, you got to keep growing and here a little, there a little. And then it says that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. It's really weird. The only thing I can think of, often we need to go through a period of being broken, right? We need to have this real period of weakness where we realize, my goodness, Lord, I can see in your scriptures that I need to grow. I can see that. But there's something that's getting in the way, you know, whether it's a mindset or whatever it is. And you need to be broken. It says snared. When you're snared, you're trapped, right? And so you kind of, you're trapped in a way, like, it's very negative, I know, but it's almost all I can think of is like, oh, okay, we're part of the kingdom, right? It's great in a way where we're kind of in this fold. It's fantastic. But sometimes you're set in ways that you don't fully get. But we get set in ways that are contrary to being malleable to the Lord's ways. And so there's this period where you've got to realize that, right, I need to be broken. I need to be broken and then rebuilt. It's the only way I can think to interpret that. Rebuilt and then line upon line, here a little, there a little, and regrow. Now, I'm trying to reflect on, and I don't want to bore you too much, but on my my own walk, I moved up to Geraldton not long after coming to the Revival Fellowship, and I was up there for 18 months, I think. And I was coming to meetings as often as I could, about every fortnight. But then when I moved back to Perth and just came back to the meetings, full-on meetings in Perth, I realised, oh my goodness, through this period of time, I have not grown. These people that I knew beforehand, in 18 months, I could see they'd grown. And I thought, oh no, I haven't grown at all. And so in a way, I guess, you know, I kind of retracted. And I pulled myself back internally. I thought, right, I've got to regrow. I guess that was a breaking experience for me, that this broke me. And I thought, oh no, this is not right the way I'm living my life. So I stepped back and I just did everything, right? I thought, oh, okay, I'm in Perth. The only day where nothing was on in Perth was Monday, you know, Tuesday outreach, Wednesday meeting, Thursday outreach, Friday meeting. There was a Saturday outreach, Sunday meetings. Just did it all. I was in a great position, had a wonderful job that allowed me to do that. And that was also what I realized. I realized from that point, work was so important to fit around the commitments in the Lord. And so then for a whole year, it took a whole year to kind of come back to a point where I was comfortable, and then I moved to Bunbury. And it was all part of the Lord's plan, of course, and we draw upon these experiences because that's important, experience. And I've said this before, like, we do a lot of things the Lord doesn't want us to do, but he's got this wonderful way of twisting it around for it to his advantage. So I admit the Lord didn't want me to move to Geraldton, but he made a positive thing out of it. And that's wonderful. That's why we can't condemn ourselves, because God has a wonderful way of twisting it around to his advantage. So in a way, I can see perhaps that's what it means to be broken. You know, mentally we think, oh, I've got to be broken, Lord, whatever you want. You know, break off whatever ideas you might have that are contrary. Luke chapter 21. And since moving to Bunbury, this was back in 2007, I definitely had moments where I was rebroken. Oh, dear, sometimes I was like, oh, don't. Dear Lord, gave me a clip over the back of the head again. So it happens. We all go through these things and... I mean, there's even time I kind of laugh in retrospect. I was so proud of myself. I managed to get off the talk roster. I was so glad I'm off the talk roster. But anyway, what do you know? Pastor Tim pulled me aside and said, no, I think you better back. Oh, okay then. So, but it was all part of the Lord's plan. We reflect on these things and we realize we're just people. You know, we're like this. Like when the Lord chooses us and he's working through us, it's like we're watching from a distance. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's the Lord. We're just vessels, you know. He gets all the glory. And if you can laugh about your experiences, it's just so much better. So we've all been through this stuff. Luke 21 and verse 29. And he, being Jesus Christ, spake to them a parable. Behold the fig tree and all the trees, when they now shoot forth. You see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise ye, when you see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be finished. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Now, I'm going to kind of twist this. Like we have an understanding that we see signs going on around us, on the earth, you know, all sorts of things that are predicted in the scriptures. And we see these as like a fig tree blossoming. And we see that, okay, these are signs of the times. We refer to that, signs of the times that it seems like Jesus is going to come back soon. We don't know for certain, because it says that we can't know. And I've also said it's the Lord's prerogative to just think he's long-suffering. Let's just start again. You know, let's just go through all history again. He can do that and let it be 1,000 years down the track. But it seems the things that are happening in the world at the moment, it seems that the Lord is about to come. It says there that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. But I want to twist this around a bit. If we know that the Lord is at hand, right? In one way, okay, it seems that Jesus Christ is going to come back soon, possibly in our lifetime. But flip side is we've only got this lifetime here on earth, right? I mean, I'm, what, 23? So I've got about, I don't know, another 60 years on this earth. So I've got, so in a way, it's like the kingdom of God is nigh at hand, because in 60 years' time, I'll be dead. Right? And so that's the same thing. And so in our lives, we can expect to be asleep in the Lord sometime. Right? You do the sums. And so that's like summer is nigh at hand. So if summer's nigh at hand, then let the fig tree blossom. Okay? Let the fig tree blossom. We know that summer is nigh at hand. We know that we've got things to do here on earth. Someone said to me a little while ago, he was flat out doing all this stuff, and he said, oh, it's okay, I'll get to rest in the Lord. But until then, I've got things to do for the work of the Lord. So let our fig tree blossom and grow, because we know that summer is nigh. Okay, we know that. We can do the sums. And so let's grow and keep looking to the Lord, right? And have that burning desire, what can I do? And I must admit, like, even though I flopped around and got off the talk roster and was, I guess, a little bit frustrating, I always knew that I wanted to do more. You know, there was that thing in me always there. So keep looking. Matthew chapter 3. Nina knows this scripture very well. And it's a very powerful passage that impacted her when she first received the Holy Spirit. And helped her to realise how important meetings are and to get to meetings and just follow his ways. It's just a wonderful testimony. So this is John the Baptist speaking, Matthew chapter 3 and verse 8. Bring forth therefore fruits meet or worthy of or for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. All right? And again, I imagine this is like you're in an orchard and the person looking after the orchard, tending to the orchard, is walking up and down the rows, right? And making sure all the trees are bearing fruit. And of course, if they're deciduous trees, he knows that it's winter, right? And he knows that they're going to bring forth later with fruit. And so if you're walking along and, there's a tree there that's not bearing fruit, it says here the axe is already laid at the root of the trees. So he doesn't have to run back to the shed and grab the axe. It's already there. So he sees a tree that's not bearing fruit, just picks up the axe and then cuts it down and replaces it with a tree that bears fruit. And so this is what John the Baptist is saying to the religious people at the time. It was actually to the Pharisees and Sadducees that came to watch the baptism. And he went straight out and said, look, don't claim that you have Abraham as your father. We can get lackadaisical like that too. Oh, it's all right. I've been in the Lord for a while. You know, it's all right. I've been here many years. I've seen lots of things. I'm still filled with the Spirit. I'm righteous before the living God, which we know is true. We know that's true. That's a fact. But if you stop bearing fruit, there's this danger that the axe is laid at the root of the trees and you'll be cut down. So there's that danger. And so what I'm trying to do here is, right, okay, no matter how long you've been walking in the Lord, have that fresh mindset to look to him. Okay, I need to bear fruit. I need these leaves to flourish. I want the person who's tending the vineyard or the orchard to walk straight past me, knowing that I'm bearing fruit, you know, and he can stay there. It's not cumbering the ground. And that's the other beautiful thing. When I was putting these scriptures together, I didn't think of that one, is that if there's a tree that's not bearing fruit, there's someone who pipes up, and that's Jesus Christ, pipes up and says, no, leave it for a little. I'll fertilize it, and then we'll see. And so there's always that opportunity, you know, that look to Jesus, and he'll fertilize, he'll feed and help you grow. Here a little, there a little, you know, very little, but just keep doing it. John chapter 15. We've got, John chapter 15, and just start in verse 1. And it says, I am the true vine. That's Jesus Christ. He's the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burnt. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. And as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Okay, there's a lot in there. It finishes up with that love, a lot in there about love. And if you love him, you follow his commandments. But verse 11 says the reason Jesus is saying this to his disciples, to his chosen people, is that his joy may remain in us. You know, he wants our joy to be full. You know, and so by growing and continually putting in the effort, all right, it takes effort, I know that. I used to get very disappointed because when I first came to the Lord, I'd read the Bible, I'd fall asleep. It's very discouraging, but you keep putting in the effort because you know you're being fed, that your joy might be full and you're more secure in your salvation. You know that you're right before the Lord. And that says there that when we bear much fruit, we are his disciples and our Father, i.e. God, is glorified. You know, God gets this amazing glory when we're bearing fruit and we're growing and we're growing in love and joy. And the other bit I like about this passage, it's very comforting. In verse 2, it says, every branch that bears fruit, he purgeth it that it may bring forth more fruit. And I see that that word purge is a very strong term. It's like a trial. You know, we go through trials, and but then when we come out of the end, we bear more fruit. And I can certainly look back on my own walk and see when there's been a trial. It's a pain, don't get me wrong. It's a pain going through trials. But at the end, it's amazing that the peaceable fruit of righteousness, it's incredible how you grow as a result of a period of trial. And you kind of get to that point, well, when's the next trial? Because I'm looking forward to the growth. When am I going to be purged again so that I may bear more fruit and grow more, here a little and there a little? Mark chapter 13 and verse 32. Mark chapter 13 and verse 32. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. He's talking about the return of Jesus Christ. Nobody knows. We can postulate and figure it out in our own way, but it says here we'll never figure it out. Verse 33, take ye heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. And we take it day by day. The Lord's put us in this in the middle of this cycle. You know, we are awake, we go to sleep, we're awake, we go to sleep. It's a daily cycle. And so in a way, we can be refreshed the next morning. Okay, no matter what happened the next day, we can wake up in the morning with a new mindset and then live that day, same thing. No matter what happened that day, the next morning, you can wake up with a new mindset. We can watch. We can have this mentality to watch and be careful, you know, that that we realize things that are bringing us down, you know, taking us away from doing what God wants us to do. You kind of prune them off and allow yourself to be purged, that you may bear more fruit, that you may grow, that you may flourish. It's a wonderful word, that flourish, isn't it? That we may flourish before the Lord and be these amazing trees of righteousness. And so here is this, to be careful always, each day, because we don't know when the Lord's coming back. We know that. We have, that's one thing we know. We don't know when he's coming back. So let us be careful and watch. And it says here to watch. And so we've got to be active in that way. It's an active mindset. Right. Yes, I want to be raised up to meet the Lord in the air. That's what I want. And so if I want that, then the Lord's asking us to watch instead of us being surprised, taken aback. Oh, right. I didn't know the Lord was coming back now. I was expecting a little bit more time to get all my things in order. But today is the day of salvation, it says in the Bible, and it applies to everyone. Those that don't have the Spirit, we often apply to that. Like those that don't have the Spirit, look, today. Like, what have you got to lose? Today. is the day of salvation. But also us who are filled with the Holy Spirit, today is the day of salvation. You know, keep that fresh mindset to look to Him. Right, I want to get raised up to meet the Lord in the air. His Son died for me. His Son died that I may be filled with the Spirit, that I'm righteous in His eyes. And so He's done all that for me. Now I just need to follow Him and follow His commandments. Matthew chapter 20. And Matthew chapter 20, I'm not going to read the whole of this parable. We know it quite well, but I'll just pull out a couple of verses here. Matthew 20 and verse 6. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? And they say unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. Okay, so this scenario, the people sitting around at the marketplace or wherever it is, just sitting around, they're idle, they're not doing stuff. And their answer is, well, look, the reason we're sitting around not doing anything is because nobody has hired us. Nobody has told us that there are things to do. Nobody's told us what to do. And he says, look, come into the vineyard and do the work of the Lord, and whatsoever is right, that shall you receive. And fair dinkum, it's a pretty all right thing that we receive. We receive salvation. We can live with God forever in the Spirit. And in the vineyard as well, He helps us out. He helps us as we go about our ways. He knows our weaknesses. He reassures us with so many scriptures that we can read and we can throw back at each other who might be discouraged, you know, to build them up. You know, that's the key thing, is let the Lord build. Use the Bible to build people up, and He helps us out. But the Lord here is calling us, you know, saying, well, why stand ye here all idle, doing nothing? Why? You know, come into the vineyard and work in that vineyard and follow the Lord's ways and follow His commandments. Luke chapter 17 and down in verse 7. Luke chapter 17 and verse 7. But which of you, having a servant, ploughing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat, and will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me, till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which is our duty to do. Now this passage, I think, is the only time where an unprofitable servant is seen as a positive thing. The term unprofitable servant elsewhere in the scriptures is a bad thing. But in this instance, it's a positive. So you can understand what this is. It's like a landholder. He's got people working out on the farm, tending to the sheep and the cattle, the field or whatever. And then when he invites them in for the meal, he doesn't say, oh, look, good work. You know, you have your meal first and then I'll eat afterwards. No, he says, come in here, make me the food, feed me, and then you can eat. You know, you can understand that situation. And so it says, like, we're here working away in the vineyard. And I love the mentality there at the end where it says, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Okay, it's a great look. The Lord is going to give us an amazing reward. You know, enter thou the joy of the Lord, thou faithful servant. You know, the Lord appreciates what we do. We know that. We can read elsewhere in the scriptures that He appreciates what we do. We're the apple of His eye, you know. We are His children. He knows us as individuals, one-on-one. But what it's saying here is our mindset is, okay, we're raised up to meet the Lord in the air. Well done. You know, you've laid up treasure in heaven. You've done all that great stuff. Enter the joy of the Lord. Look after all these things in this spiritual house. You know, you will be rewarded. But what the Lord's saying is our attitude is, well, why? You know, all I did was what you told me to do, you know? And so that's that childlike attitude. Well, Lord, you just told me to do it and I did it. We're not trying to think of all other flash ways, you know, outside the guidance of the Scriptures. There's plenty of avenue for creativity within the guidance of the Scriptures, but outside the guidance of Scriptures, we're not trying to make up a new salvation message. We're not trying to make up, you know, like we're not saved by works. We've got to remember that. We're not saved by works. Righteousness comes from God. And we don't have to climb mountains and go to the deepest valleys trying to find all these things. We're not making all that stuff up. We're just unprofitable servants in that we just did what he asked us to do, okay? Without being super creative, we just did it. And so, look, why are you rewarding me so much, Lord? Why is that? We just did what you wanted me to do. Back to chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, just closing off now. Luke chapter 16, verse 10. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to you, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? So it's a little bit cryptic here, but it's very, here we are on earth, we're faithful to the Lord. It says there, it refers to unrighteous mammon, that's unrighteous, like wealth or things here on earth. That's all it is. Like, it's not a bad thing. It's just stuff that's not pertaining to heavenly things. Like, we need a house, we need an income, we need food, we need a car. You know, we need these things to survive here. You know, that's unrighteous mammon. That's what that is, because that's all stuff that stays on earth, right? The righteous mammon is stuff that is in heaven, spiritual stuff, treasures in heaven. And so what the Lord's saying here is we've been plonked here on earth, even our own body. You know, like, we're here to look after this body that the Lord's given us, right? We're here on earth to look after it. And so even this body's not our own. Our body is that spiritual one that's coming up. Our home is that spiritual home that's coming up. And so we can lose that mindset that we don't actually belong here. We're sojourners, and we've been given all this stuff to look after here on earth, you know? We've been given this stuff that's not ours. Strictly speaking. And so if we're unfaithful in our dealings here on earth and not weighing things up properly between our priorities between righteous mammon and unrighteous mammon, getting the balance right, that's the crazy thing. It's a balance. It's always a balance. And we can get the balance off center a bit, but it doesn't matter. You know, bring it back. And so get that balance right and let us be faithful in these things that are unrighteous mammon. So the Lord here is saying, look, we've been given all this stuff that is less than what we're going to get, okay? And so we've been here on earth with all our dealings, and then when we're raised up to meet the Lord in the air, we'll have another set of dealings. We'll have all these other things to work out. So if we're unfaithful and unjust in our dealings here on earth, that which is least, you know, we'll also be unjust in our dealings in heaven, right? Makes sense. And if we're not faithful in the way we're doing things here on earth, how would he give us the true riches in heaven? So here we are, we have the mindset to follow his commandments regardless of what's going on around us. We still go out speaking about the true salvation message. We still go about spreading the gospel. We don't water down the salvation message. It's seriously repentance, getting baptized by full immersion and receiving the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. Acts 2:38, we know it. We can prattle it off. You know, it's just so much a part of it. We don't water that down. We keep it. It's these things that are least. So if we're unrighteous in the things of this earth, unfaithful in the things of this earth, how would he commit to us the true riches? So here we are on earth. We've got a time to show how faithful we are. And the Lord responds to those that are faithful. And then he'll give us wonderful things in hand in earth. And look, in heaven. And also the thing is, you know, the Lord's given us so much guidance, especially the Proverbs. You know, it's great. You know, I just love the fact in our family now, like before we go to bed, we read a chapter of Proverbs. You know, it's just, and then like the Psalms are great as a guidance. And these are things to help us in our dealings here on earth. So God hasn't left us alone, right? Right, I'm going to watch you to see if you handle it properly. He's given us guidance. He's helped us, you know. He's given us wisdom to help us in our dealings and so that we can see results as well. And look, we know, we've been around a while, we know that when we put these things into practice, we get results here on earth. And so the same thing is just keep doing it. Keep doing it. Keep following God's ways, putting Him first, and He will come afterwards and bless. And it's just fantastic when you see that in our lives. Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16, and just one verse, verse 3. It says here, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Very simple. These few words are worth remembering. And it has encouraged me a lot. Okay, God's asked me to do this, you know, particularly with me was the outreaching thing, you know, standing on the corner, handing out leaflets, door knocking, whatever, that sort of thing was quite a barrier for me. But I knew that there was, that was the opportunity, my opportunity. Like, it was so hard for me to find opportunities with the personal witnessing. And so I thought, well, this is an opportunity. I'll just do this. But I found it really hard for quite a few years, actually. But this verse here helped me out. I thought, okay, Lord, you've told me to commit my works unto the Lord. And then you've said my thoughts will be established after that. And that's what happened. You know, it happened after a few years of just plugging away. And again, I waxed and waned. I still wax and wane in strength. I have my winter times with my outreaching as well where I'm weak. But still, commit your works unto the Lord and your thoughts will come around. You'll realize. And in a way, it's like, it's that same thing as like we were told to get baptized. We were told to pray for the Holy Spirit. And we're like, oh, okay, that's what the Bible says. Ooh, I don't know about it. You know, it's a lot of people say, oh, I don't know about it. I'm not sure, but I want to do what God wants. So you go ahead and do it. You do the works. And then later, He blesses. Your mindset is changed. It's turned around. And it happens with all sorts of things that the Lord's asked us to do. You know, that you'll get that mindset. Your thoughts will be established in line. And you'll have this great joy and refreshing. You know, and it's great now. Like, just when I reflect on the things I've learnt as I've door knocked and just standing on the streets, just talking to people and how I've been challenged. And that's also when you're challenged, you grow. You know, your branch is purged. And the funny stories. You know, it's the other thing. I went walking down the street with Charlie once. And I realized then, like, she was just having a great time, you know, just having a laugh and just being like a, well, 12-year-old girl, and dancing and things. And I thought, oh, this is great. She's having a good time. And then I thought, yeah, you've got to have a laugh. You know, have a laugh when you're outreaching. Have a good time and laugh at things and laugh at your experiences. And you realize that, yeah, also that what we've got is so unique and so fantastic. And so then you get well-established and you get solid. Your roots are going right down into the fresh water and you're solid in your understanding. And so you commit your works and your thoughts will be established. I know that without a shadow of a doubt. Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1, starting verse 1. It's just wonderful that there's this encouraging, the first psalm in the book of Psalms is so encouraging and uplifting. So we'll start in verse 1. Psalm chapter 1 and verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Right? And we like we're out here, down here on earth, dealing with things, earthly things, and we like to see what we do prosper, you know, like a farmer, like they plant seed with the hope, and they want to see the fruit come about, you know, that put all this effort in, you want to prosper, you want to get something back. And so those people that are blessed, it says here, and walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, but our delight is in the law or the commandments of the Lord, his advice, we shall prosper, spiritually speaking. You know, we'll be strong, we'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and we'll be alive. Our leaf also shall not wither. So that's that growth thing, here a little, there a little. You don't plant a fig seed and then the next day it's a full tree. It takes time, a lot of time. Some fruit trees take particularly long time. But you just a little bit here, a little bit there, and grow a little. And that's what we'll be like. We'll be like this tree, solid. We sing the chorus, "For you shall be like the trees of righteousness." And that's just backing up what we read in Psalm chapter 1, you know, that we will be this tree of righteousness, bearing much fruit. If we look to the Lord and growing to the Lord in his Son, you know, the Son of righteousness, as well as it says in Malachi, S-U-N, that's Jesus Christ, and we're flourishing in the ways of the Lord. So commit your works and your thoughts will be established, and we'll just be able to experience some wonderful things here on earth as we follow his ways. Okay, thank you.